Ars Electronica 2009, Human Nature Podcast.
Okay, good. So my name is Andres Monroy Hernandez. I'm originally from Mexico, but I've been working at the MIT Media Lab for the past few years. And the title of my presentation is Cloud Creativity, inspired by the theme of the symposium on cloud intelligence. So I want to focus on kind of what Pablo was talking about, on what do we do once we have access to the cloud, in particular in terms of education and learning. Okay, next slide, please. So when we think of cloud computing, I feel that with this new concept, there has not been a clear definition what it is. And in some ways, if we kind of look at what people talk about in terms of cloud computing, so I kind of identified two main components. And one of them is this idea of having access to scalable and almost unlimited processing power, computational power, as well as storage and unlimited storage. However, as Pablo was talking about this idea of black boxes, I feel that cloud computing as it is right now, it's pretty much a black box. We basically just dump our data onto Google and we use services like Twitter, but we don't really know how these services are made and how things are happening behind the scenes. So in some ways, one important part missing from this idea of cloud computing is the human component, the social component, of kind of getting people involved in kind of actually producing and understanding how things work behind the scenes. So can we go to the next slide? The next slide, I've been thinking about how to democratize cloud computing. So it's kind of interesting to think about democratizing cloud computing because in some ways, cloud computing in itself is in some ways the idea of giving everyone access to this unlimited kind of processing and computational power. However, most people don't have the tools and the knowledge on how to interact and program these kind of computational power. So this is one of the main goals of our work at the Media Lab, and in particular in my group. In the next slide, I show, can you go next slide, please? Yes, here I search for the word programming in Google images, and this is one of the images that I found, and it just kind of shows you what the traditional concept of programming is. When people think about programming, they think of something like this, kind of more complicated and something that is a bit obscure, a bit of a black box, and in some ways something that has not reached the majority of the population. So one of our questions is, how can we make programming and in general digital expression more tinkerable, more accessible, and more social. So next, here one of the solutions that we are proposing is to make basically programming more accessible by creating better tools and more simpler tools that anyone can use. So in particular, we're interested in novices and kids and how to empower them to make programming tinkerable, meaningful, personal, diverse, and in general, more social. So in the next slide, I show you the way Scratch looks like. So can you go next? Yes, here is an example of a piece of code, which is very different from the previous piece of code that I show. In this case, is a very simple program that basically the only thing it does is when I press the space key, it will say something on the screen and it will make a character turn. So this is one first step on how to make programming and digital expression more tinkerable by using this metaphor of kind of Lego-like blocks that allow us to put together code in a very simple syntax. In fact, there is no way in which you can make syntax errors in this programming environment. So we've been working on this. Can you go next? And we developed this authoring environment called Scratch, where people can create interactive media and bring together different kind of music, images, any kind of sounds and kind of put it together the way these jockeys put together music. And in fact, that's why it's called Scratch, because it's as easy as kind of mixing different media using this programming environment to create new content. So if we go next, I'm just showing the way you can personalize Scratch by perhaps introducing your own image, and you can also use your webcam. You can put MP3 files from your iPod. So this is part of our attempt to making programming and kind of digital building more personal. But we are also interested, in the next slide I show, our interest in kind of broadening participation not only to English speakers, but also to other people. So in fact, one of the nice things about Scratch is that if I build a program, say in English, somebody can see it in Chinese. So, and if you see in the next slide, it's the same kind of screen or piece of code in Spanish, for example. So you can see that the code, it's translated by simply switching the language, and then you can see the same code that somebody else has done in a different language in your own language. So if we go next, one of the things that we wanted to do with Scratch is also to make it more social. So this is one of the main areas of my work, and so we had a Scratch as a desktop application that people can build any kind of video games or interactive media. But we did not have the social component. So one of my goals was to make kind of like a YouTube for Scratch. So we created this website. So if you go next, we'll see the way the front page looks like. So it's very much in the style of any of these social media platforms. What the main difference is that here people are not sharing traditional media or videos. They're sharing interactive media that you can play with and program and download and see how things are made. So if we see in the next screen, you can see that it also has the typical social component of you have your profile, you have your friends, you have the kind of the set of projects that you built. And this has become quite popular in the sense that it not only provides a space to share your work, but also to communicate with others, which is key for the creative process. So if we see in the next slide, we see this is how a project will look like. In this case, it's a video game of Obama versus McCain. So one of the kids in Scratch programmed this game, taking probably images from the web, and made a video game where the two candidates fought against each other. And you can see that people really bring things that they are interested in. It's not as a prescribed thing as it happens in a school. In fact, most of the users in Scratch are from homeschool kids or people who find Scratch on their own, and they play with Scratch after school. So we really see a wide diversity of projects, which to us it shows the how people feel really close to it and how personalizable it is. So in the next slide, I show kind of like some of the statistics on the website. We see that there are, actually this was from June. We are almost above 9 million visitors now. 81 million page views. So there is a lot of people using Scratch. Actually, in the next slide, we see that Scratch is used in many, many different locations. The main ones, of course, are the English-speaking countries, but we are trying to kind of push and make Scratch more popular in other places, especially now that it's a multilingual tool. In the next slide, I show how many projects per day people upload. We started with just a few of them. Now we have about, actually now I think it's 1,500 projects per day. So there is a new project about every 2 or 3 minutes, which is quite exciting. In the next slide, I show the overall statistics of the site. We now pass the 500,000 project mark. And if we see how many kind of lines of code this community of kids has created, I'm really surprised that the number is so high. It's about 78 million lines of code. Which, if we compare to, say, the Linux kernel, I think, has like 6 million lines of code. In this case, we've been working with this site for a bit, around 2 years, and there is so much activity around Scratch from all these users that they've been able to creates so much content that is personally meaningful and traditionally considered difficult. Programming is not something that most people will say, oh yes, I'm gonna go program after I leave school. If we see the in the next slide, I show distribution of ages. So you can see the majority of people are in the younger age range. Most of them are between 12 and 13 years old. But you can also see that there are some spikes around 19 and 29, because these are some adults who are also really interested in using such a simple tool to create very complex things. So a lot of them are perhaps software developers who find Scratch as a challenge to say, I'm going to implement something like a fractal simulation in Scratch. And a lot of them do. And a lot of them actually serve as role models for the community. Some of them are now engaged as moderators and kind of mentors for the kids. So it creates a really interesting relationship between experts, who some of them are adults, some of them are young kids, and the newcomers to the community. In the next slide, I show kind of some of the statistics also in terms of gender distribution for visitors. And this is our kind of statistics that I generated using Quantcast, this external entity that allows you to track your website. So it does show some kind of good diversity in terms of gender and ethnicity. There is still a lot more work to be done in this area, but we feel very confident that in the next few years, we'll be able to reach to a broader audience. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about also is just in terms of how Scratch has allowed, in the next slide, I show how attribution is displayed. So in the arrow, I show who made the project, for example. It shows under the project, it shows who made the project. But in the next slide, I show how this idea of attribution has played an important role in Scratch. And at the beginning, if you see on the top, that's how we used to show attribution. But the fact is that a lot of the projects, are downloaded by people and remixed to create new projects. So we needed to find a way to show this attribution, this connection between the original project and the remix. So this is one way in which we show that. So also, if you see in the next slide, for any project, it displays the number of remixes that that project is. So our main goal was trying to kind of make remixing something popular, because at the very beginning, people didn't feel very comfortable with other kids remixing their projects. They were considering them as plagiarists. In the next slide, I show how on the front page at some point we decided to position remixing as a great thing to do, because your projects will get more visibility. And in fact, one of the interesting things is that for kids to get to the front page is a big deal, and a lot of them really strive and work really hard to get their projects popularized by the other members of the community. So putting top remix on the front page made a big difference in terms of how the community perceives this idea of building on top of something that somebody else made, which is basically the core of open source software development. And we are trying to bring these ideas to younger generations. In the next slide, I show an example of a project created collaboratively between a group of 8 kids. All of them don't know each other face to face, but they created this group. They call it a company. They call it Grey Bear Productions. The founders of this mini company or group are mostly between 8 and 13 years old, but now there are tons of members that work together collaboratively building different projects, and they it's very interesting to see their decision-making process and the way they use the website and the tool to kind of collaborate and build things together. In the next slide, I show the way the gallery where they show their projects looks like. And in the next slide, I have a little bit of statistics on who these kids are. So the founders, as I mentioned, are between 8 and 15 years old. None of them knows each other. Now there are about 18 different members. They're all in different time zones. Some of them speak different languages. They use the comments in the galleries to make decisions on what they're going to make or build. And in general, just to end, I want to mention that our goal is to leverage the cloud as a social platform to enable creative expression, and we are interested in doing research and building tools like Scratch. Thank you. Thank you very much.